The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of glory and love, peace comes from you alone. Send us as peacemakers and witnesses to your kingdom, and fill our hearts with joy in your promises of salvation. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Please be seated for the Liturgy of the Words.
A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, the second chapter. A voice said to me, O mortal, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you. And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said to me, Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have transgressed against me to the very day. The descendants are impudent and stubborn. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 123 responsively. To you I lift up my eyes, to you enthroned in the heavens.
As the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, and the eyes of the maid to the hand of her mistress.
So our eyes look to the Lord our God, until he show us his mercy. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy. For we have had more than enough of contempt. Too much of the scorn of the indolent rich and of the derision of the proud. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Beginning is now and will be forever. Amen. A reading from the second epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. I was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. The word of the Lord.
Go. You have the word.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord. There was a woman with an out-of-state license plate on her car, driving on a narrow country road. And she swung a bit wide and forced the man coming in the opposite direction to swerve quickly in order to avoid the collision. To add insult to injury, or so it would seem, as the cars passed, the woman yelled at the man, "Pig!" And he knew her type. He categorized her quickly and shouted to her, "Crazy woman driver." Just then he rounded the curve and ran into the biggest pig he had ever seen. When I was in high school, we had school dances, and there you had to show your ID in order to get into the dance, and only current students were allowed into the hall for the dances, except when we had played a basketball or a football game against one of the other town schools. And on those nights, the school dances would be open for both schools. And don't you know, I loved those dances. We really looked forward to those because all the cute boys went to the other schools. Maybe it was just that the guys in our school were too familiar, but we knew them. We knew all about them. They weren't interesting. The guys at the other schools, now that was a different story. Do you know the definition of an expert? That's anyone with a briefcase who is more than 100 miles from home. And isn't it true, or is it true, that the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence? Does it seem to be true that we can't see the value of what is right in front of us? In the gospel passage we just read, Jesus is returning to his hometown, but the members of his family, the leaders of his community, could not see Jesus for who he was. They could only think in terms of categories that they'd already established. He's the kid from down the street. They already had him in his box. Jesus' relatives and the fellow Nazarenes could only think of him as the local carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon. This scene of dismissal and rejection leads Jesus to quoting a well-remembered adage, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their own hometown." One of my classmates in the seminary, Jonathan, told this story on himself. It seems that early in the process of his discernment, he was having an informal conversation with the bishop of his synod. And the bishop said, "Well, Jonathan, where do you think you'd like to serve the church as a pastor? Where would you like to go?" And he said, "Anywhere except North Carolina." And the bishop of North Carolina said, "What's wrong with North Carolina?" Jonathan said, "Well, you know, that old adage, you know, about a prophet in his own hometown and stuff." And the bishop put his hand on Jonathan's shoulder and said, "Don't worry, no one's going to mistake you for a prophet." He just got ordained in Pennsylvania. As we listen to this scripture on this Sunday, it's important to remember what a prophet really is. When I teach the confirmation class and we study the Hebrew scriptures, I use this definition for a prophet. Not a foreteller, but a forth teller. Not a fortune teller, but a speaker of the truth, one who calls people into that truth. Many people wrongly believe that the job of a prophet is to predict the future. Actually, prophets only occasionally made predictions, and some made no predictions at all. The word that in Hebrew scriptures that's usually translated to prophet, the word navi, means one who sees. In the biblical sense, seeing means understanding. Like we say, "Oh, I see," when we get it, when we understand something. Prophets are people who help us get it, who help us to see. They're people with strong faith who see the truth and then tell that truth. They can see the connection between what's going on in the world, what's going on around us, and then connect that to God and to the ideas of God. We might call prophets interpreters of God's sign language. God is doing something in our world, and the prophets can see that. They're the ones who can help us to say, "Oh, I see. I get what God is doing here." If we look at it honestly, it's not just in their homelands that prophets are without honor. Prophets of old were not honored anywhere, anyway. They were rejected, despised, killed, stoned, all because the truth of God is so hard for human beings to accept. The prophets of today don't have it much easier. We are too much of a rebellious people, impudent and stubborn when it comes to listening to the words of the prophet and doing what the prophets of God call us to do. Radical obedience to God is most often not accepted with the flow of society. It's countercultural. Today's gospel beckons us to listen for the true prophets of God, whether they're familiar to us or not. We're called to listen to God's words, despite how difficult that message will be for us to take. This is a call for us to be courageous enough and open enough to listen to the prophets among us and to obey the word of God that they reveal. So, who are the prophets among us? Where do we look and listen for this word of God? A prophet is a person who speaks for God. God said, "This is my prophet whose words I am giving. You will speak my words, he said to the prophet. The prophet is a person who is also called to speak for the voiceless, to speak for those, the widows, the orphans, the strangers, those people who live on the margins of society. Now, today we could change those Old Testament categories and talk about the addicts and the homeless, or the elderly in nursing homes, people who we push out, people who live on the margins of society. Who are the prophets who speak for those people today? Sometimes that prophetic word is spoken verbally, and other times it's spoken through action. I think of the strong speeches of someone like Martin Luther King Jr., or the silent witness of someone like Rosa Parks. Whether in speech or in action, the words of a prophet are words of power, word that upsets, that turns upside down, inside out, that radically alters our perceptions of the current attitudes or philosophies of the world. The prophetic word challenges the very foundations of our personal lives, as well as those of our Christian communities and society at large. Even the prophets didn't like to hear this word. Even the prophets themselves didn't welcome this kind of upheaval, this radical call to look at things in a different way. Look at Jonah, for example. He wanted to say thanks, but no thanks, to that call to be a prophet. In fact, he did say no the first go-round. But finally, God convinced Jonah to speak that prophetic word to the people of Nineveh, to turn their world upside down. There are other times, like the story we heard today of Jesus in his hometown, that the prophet seems just too ordinary. This can't be a prophet. We know this guy. He's just like us. And therefore, he can't have anything new to say or anything important to tell us. And even if we do hear the words of the prophet and accept their words as coming from God, we tend to question the intent of that word. Me? Is this word for me? God must mean somebody else. It must be some other community that is being called to this prophetic word. It must be some other group of people who need to respond to those people on the margins of society. We end up wrestling with ourselves over how we see ourselves, who we are as individuals, as Christian community, and how God sees us. We wrestle with that, with what the world is saying and what our Christian values have to say. We need the voices of prophets today more than ever. There are so many voices out there claiming to be speaking the truth about the issues of our day. There are so many people who need to hear the truth. Today's readings invite us to look at ourselves when we're looking to find the voice of the prophet. We who have been baptized have been given special gifts, spiritual gifts, for the building up of the Christian community. When we entered the life of grace through baptism, we were anointed by Christ. We were anointed to live as prophets. This means not foretelling the future, but forthtelling the truth of what it means to live as one of God's people, what it means to be one of the children of God. We are prophets when our lifestyle reflects an alternative to the easy conformities of our culture. We are prophets when we hear the word of God and respond to it. We are prophets when we tell out that truth to other people. We are prophets when we stand up for what we are, Christian people. when we stand up for who we are, God's chosen. Ezekiel had to stand up. Jesus and his disciples had to stand up for who they were. We pray that we too will be able to stand up and stand by God, stand by God, what God says and who God says we are. Jesus sent out his disciples, those would-be prophets, who listened to the voice of Jesus. In that sending out, there are three features that are important to pay attention to. First of all, the disciples were authorized by Jesus. The very heart of their mission lies in the call of Jesus to be about this work. This wasn't their own idea. They didn't get their direction from inside themselves. It didn't just come into their head. This was a call from God. This is the words of Jesus to send them out. And Jesus gave them then the power to do their mighty works, the same mighty works that Jesus had done. This is the work of Jesus, not the work of the disciples. We would do well to remember that as a Christian community. Before we are anything else, this community gathered here, we have been gathered by Jesus Christ. We are graced and gathered by him. That's the most important part of who we are as a Christian community. We are not, first of all, a civic organization, a club, or a fellowship. We are the disciples of Jesus Christ who are sent to act in his name. The second feature of this sending is Jesus' instructions to travel light. Don't let your possessions weigh you down. Any of you who have recently been on vacation know the importance of that travel light message. Jesus says to his disciples, don't take what you don't need. Travel light. Don't let the concerns of the mundane cloud the concerns of your spiritual life. Don't let your possessions weigh you down. The third feature of this sending out, this commissioning, is that the reality of rejection must be taken seriously. The disciples do not go with the promise that everyone who hears their word will repent. They would neither have been surprised nor discouraged when doors were slammed in their faces. After all, Jesus had received just such a response from the religious officials, from the citizens of his hometown, in fact, from his own family. So how might we develop our ability to be prophets, to share in the mission of Jesus as those apostles who were sent out? In American Sign Language, the sign for prophet is the sign that means one who is far-seeing. This definition that suggests that we might start our goal to be prophets by reclaiming our ability to see, and seeing then to respond. So how do we get this prophetic sight? Through prayer, through paying attention to the Word of God, by opening our ears to hear that Word of God that's spoken to us today. And we need to pray for the gift of courage. The words of St. Paul encourage us to stand firm, certain that God's power is in us, and that in our weakness can be found the strength of Jesus Christ. In the rite of baptism, we hear these words proclaimed. Through baptism, God has made you a member of the priesthood that we all share in Jesus Christ, that we may proclaim the praise of God and bear his creative and redeeming word to the world. May God bless us and strengthen us to live out that baptism and to invite others to share it. Amen.